Good morning, church. What a beautiful day outside. Happy New Year to you. And while we're welcoming the new year on this second day of 2022, we can also welcome winter and say goodbye to summer, at least for a couple of days, it seems. If you're visiting with us this morning, we especially welcome you, and we'd like to have a record of your attendance so we can get to know you better. I'd like everyone, visitors and members, to fill out one of our attendance cards. You'll find one in the back of the pew in front of you, and we'll pick those up toward the end of our service. So if you will, sometime during the service, complete one of those. We have a few announcements before we begin our worship this morning. Ladies, this is especially for you. There's a ladies' prayer meeting tomorrow here at the building at 9 o'clock in the morning. So please join with the other ladies in that prayer meeting if you can. Also, ladies, on Wednesday at 9:30 in the morning, there's a new Bible class beginning. Russell will be teaching that Bible class. It'll be a study of the book of Hebrews. And if you can, please attend that. For both men and women, and children, as far as that goes, Sunny Glen's Children's Home, one of the three children's homes that we work with, will be in our area February the 8th to collect some needed supplies. They're asking this time for cooking spray, for bleach, for kids' healthy snacks, and for popcorn, another healthy snack as well. If you can, place those in the barrel in the foyer, and we have about a month to collect for them before they come, the 8th of February. Also have some thank you cards to read this morning. This one says, "Dear Midway family, I thank you so much for your generous gift for the holiday bonus. It is my pleasure to work for such a loving and caring congregation. In him, Pat McCrary." We'll post that on the bulletin board. Also have this one, "Dear Midway family, I want to say thank you so much for the gift you give me, for the prayers, for my health, and I thank you for those who helped keep our church clean while she was away. You are a loving, caring, and giving church. I am so happy to be a part of our church family, Midway. Sister in love, Linda Rodriguez." On behalf of the elders and the deacons and the entire Midway congregation, we'd like to wish everyone a very blessed and a very happy new year. Let's open our service with prayer. Father, as we enter another new year, we pray that you would bless us, be with us. Help us to resolve in our hearts to be the church that you would have us to be the Christians, the individuals that we need to be. Father, help us to grow spiritually in knowledge of your word and in our love and commitment for serving you and serving each other. Father, bless us as we prepare to worship this morning. Help us to open our hearts to the message that Russell has prepared for us. Father, help us as we praise you in song to think of the words that we're saying and to praise you from our heart. And as we share in communion around the Lord's table, Father, help us to be mindful of Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us. Father, be with us in all that we do, and help us to draw closer to you and closer to each other. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, and the glory
Okay, today's scripture is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood.
Good to see everyone here this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian?
Amen.
And from me and my family, we want to thank you as well for the gift of money you gave us. We appreciate your generosity and love this church and appreciate all you do for us all the time. How good at you, what do you do with instructions and information you get when you buy something new? A lot of us are opening up things that may have instructions with them. Sometimes we pay attention to those instructions. Sometimes we put them aside and try to do it on our own and later return to the instructions. And sometimes there's tags on things that give us warnings or indications or advice. And we may just rip the tags off and move along because we're ready to get going with whatever we've opened up. And we might not pay full attention to what the instructions are. But it's interesting if you pause for a minute and read what some of those instructions or warnings are. It kind of makes you wonder, why did they put this there? Did someone really do this? Or did someone really wonder about it? Have you ever thought about that? Here's some of those instruction or warning statements. A clothes iron had this advice. Warning, never iron clothes while being worn. You think somebody actually tried that and found out that wasn't a good idea? Do not allow children to play in the dishwasher. Why would they put that on the tag? On a cardboard sunshield for a car, do not drive with sunshield in place. That would be an interesting car ride, wouldn't it? On a toner cartridge, do not eat toner. You think there's someone who actually tried to taste it? Why do they put that on there? In a microwave oven manual, do not use for drying pets. That would be a shocking experience, wouldn't it? On a bottle of hair coloring, do not use as ice cream topping. Now, most of us would say, hey, that's common sense, but why the warning? Because sometimes people need to be protected from themselves. On a portable stroller, caution, remove infant before folding for storage. On a Superman costume, warning, cape does not enable user to fly. You think anybody's ever tried to fly? Warnings. What do we do with warnings? Sometimes we don't really want to hear about warnings, but this morning, John is going to give us a warning. He's going to give us some advice. He's going to give us some instruction about something that's very, very, very important. He's going to tell them to make sure what they're being taught is true. He needs them to walk in the truth. And there's a danger. He's already addressed it once in the letter. Now he's going to address it again, that people will not always tell the truth. There will be people who say that they are teaching God's word, but they're not. And they need to be tested. And he's going to give them some important instructions about making sure they keep their guard up and not be gullible and just accept anything that's brought their way, but to make sure that they discern what is true and what is false. And why is that so important? Just think about some numbers for a minute. If you go to your computer and you Google how many world religions there are, there's over 4,000. About 4,300. Denominations. In the U.S., there's over 200 denominations. There's 381,000 church buildings. 200 denominations that say, we've got the truth. We're telling you the truth. you can know the truth here. Don't trust that everybody that says they're telling the truth is the truth. That's a lot of churches. That's a lot of denominations. 200 in the U.S. You know what it is globally? 45,000. People that believe different things and teach different things. And so John's message is important to us because it's not only about the churches, it's about the literature that's there that says this is the truth, this is what you need to know. You can get on your computer and surf things. You have to be careful to make sure that you're getting the truth. So this morning, let's look at 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 6 to discover three actions for walking in the truth that he gives us in this text. First of all, test what is taught. You've got to test what you're being taught. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. The spirit, the origin of where the false teaching is coming through from these false teachers, and their spirit is not true. And remember, there's big S's, Holy Spirit, and there's little S's, the spirit of man, like he uses lots of times, like he used for Timothy. God did not give you a spirit of timidity in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. He says, test the spirits. Make sure what you're being taught is true, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. They claim that they're telling you the truth, but it's not the truth. And you have to test them. A parallel passage to this is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in verse 22, it says, test all things, hold fast what is good. We're supposed to test everything. What does it mean to test something? The word that's used has to do with lots of things, testing metals, testing things like gold. Is it real gold or is it fool's gold? Is it real or is it fake? Is it true or is it imitation? And there's things you can do to test that. Even the word is used in a person that's going to go into a job. Are they the real deal or not? But it's testing, making sure that something is proven and correct. We're supposed to be investigators. We're supposed to be people who verify. Just because I say something, don't take my word for it. Search the Scriptures. In Acts 17, it says the Bereans were of more noble character because they received the word with readiness and they searched the Scriptures to make sure what they were being taught was true. Here, John is given a principle that's broad. And now he's going to get specific about some false teaching that was occurring at his time. We need to pay attention. Both are important for us, but the general principle is be a person who doesn't just let your guard down and say, well, Russell said this is the way it is, or Fritz said this is the way it was. I mean, he was there, right? Oh, maybe not back that far. But make sure. And how do you know for sure? The early disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Breaking bread, fellowship, and prayer. It all comes back to what they left us and the Holy Spirit gave us in the Word. I can test anything someone says by using God's Word. And this is my plumb line. This is the indicator. And it's true that at that time, some people, they had special gifts. And some people talk about discerning spirits. But what if they weren't there? This was the way that they were able to tell if something was true or not. And for us, those miracles are gone. And in the bulletin, there's some extra information about false teaching for this Sunday. And as you leave on the table outside, if you wonder about miracles, why they've ceased or whatever, there's a sheet on there that you can take home and look at those scriptures. But in all these things, as I'm talking, because this is a sermon, I can't cover every single thing that I want to cover. But as I talk, if you have questions, email me or call me or talk to me, because these are important things for us to get, because we have basically become a people that has kind of let our guard down. We don't test everything like we should. Sometimes we just want a quick answer. John's saying, don't do that. Test everything. Test the spirits. Paul says test everything. John says test the spirits, because many false teachers have gone out. But specifically for them, teachers had come and started saying things that weren't true about Jesus. So he says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is a Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world. One question you have to ask is, are they saying something true or false about Jesus? He's saying here one test for them at that time and for us is to ask the question, are they teaching that Jesus has come in the flesh? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So you know that's from the right spirit. But if they don't confess that, that's the wrong spirit. And sometimes we need to have the confidence to know, sometimes it's just black and white. Now, what is he not talking about? Has any preacher ever put Moses on the ark? Yeah. That's a mistake. And sometimes there may be even things that are trying to be explained that people might make a mistake about. That's different than someone who's teaching something totally false. They were teaching about Jesus something that was false, and they were leading people away. And John said, keep your guard up. Make sure that you test everything. Test what you hear. If you hear it, go to your Bible and check it out and make sure it lines up with what God's Word says. Because when God's Word says it, that settles it. When Jesus says it, that settles it. That should be our attitude. I want to make sure, I grew up in a time where people wanted to know, if they asked somebody a question and they gave them an answer, they said, book, chapter, and verse, right? Why? They wanted to see it for themselves. They weren't just going to take someone's word for it. They wanted a, thus saith the Lord. That should be our spirit. That should be our attitude. Same way with the Bereans. Also, continue to overcome. He says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. It's an interesting passage. I want you to get this point. He's saying, reminding them, you are of God. And he says, you and have overcome them. What did they overcome? They have overcome the false teaching because they continued in the truth. They had done that. In the original language in Greek, it is an imperfect indicative, which indicates they had overcome and they were presently overcoming, but the future was uncertain. And John is trying, but it indicates that that's the way they need to go. But if they drop their guard and they accept things that weren't true, they weren't going to continue to overcome. And the idea is, keep on overcoming the things that you need to overcome, especially when it comes to truth. Overcome false teaching. They did it. They were doing it, but what did they need to do? They needed to continue to do it. And why had they done it? Because he that's in them is greater than he that's in the world. I think this goes back to verse 24 when it's talking about God is in them, and we know that because of the Spirit he gave us. God who is in us is greater than he that's in the world. We can overcome because of him in us. It's a great truth, isn't it? It should give us confidence that whatever we face, and sometimes we may look at Scripture and things may be difficult and hard for us to get, but we need to go on a truth search and make sure that we're walking in the truth. And if we continue in the Word, Jesus says to the Jews who had just believed in Him in John chapter 8, verse 31, we'll look at that again in a minute. I'll put it up on the screen. But He says, if you hold to my teaching, abide in my word, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It's one of the characteristics of a disciple. Being in God's word, living God's word. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You can know the truth. You may have to study hard. You may have to seek hard. It may not always be easy. But that should be a part of our spirit. That we can know the truth. We live in a world that says you can't know anything for sure. That's not what my Bible says. I'm glad I can know a lot of things for sure. And I can have confidence in that. And we're supposed to be united in the truth. Don't let Satan, don't let false teachers intimidate you. One of the Notre Dame coaches, Newt Rockne, was a coach from 1988 to 1931, and there was a specific football game, I think in 1920, around 1924, against Southern California, that they basically had the better team. So he came up with a plan. He got a bunch of guys that were 6'5", 300 pounds. He got them on the team. This is what they say. He lined them up on the sideline. They didn't play. But the other team looked at them and it messed with their heads. Mental warfare. And they end up, the Notre Dame ended up winning because they looked at something that caused them to be intimidated. John is saying, don't be intimidated. When someone says something wrong, you can know if it's true or not. You go to the Word of God and verify if it's true or not. And it is. If it isn't true, stand on the truth. Speak the truth in love. Contend for the faith. You cannot read the New Testament and miss the importance of searching the Scriptures and knowing God's Word and standing up against false teaching and false ideas, whoever it is. And if I ever say something that's wrong, please come to me. I'm not talking about putting Moses on the ark, all right? Or in 1 Samuel, calling Saul Paul. But if you think something's wrong, if you love me enough, guess what? Sit down and let's discuss the Scriptures together. Because we're all eternal students and we all need to know the truth. I'm studying with some people right now. They want to know the truth so bad. And I love that spirit. They agonize because they want to know that they're right with God. That they're doing what's true. I love studying with people like that. And then sometimes I have to ask myself the question, do I still have that spirit? Do I still have that hunger? The Bereans sure had it. John's telling them they need to have it. And then the final point is, listen to God's truth. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. They speak a message that's from the world. It's not from God. It's not the spirit of truth. It's the spirit of error. Is it true or is it erroneous? Is it true or false? Sometimes we like those, sometimes on television they'll say, this person made this statement, is it true or false? And they go through all this data. I like that stuff because I want to know, did they really say that or not? Does Scripture really say that or not? Sometimes people will call me and say, does Scripture really say that or not? My job is to say, open your Bible and read this verse. I want you to discover it. I don't want you just to hear me say it. I want you to see it. I want you to know where it's at. I want you to go to God's Word. That's what's important. Not what I think. Not what I say. I mean, it is important, but you get what I'm saying. As long as I'm telling the truth. But how do you know if it's true? Got to check it out. The world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It's really simple, isn't it? How can you know if it's true or false? How can you know if it's a spirit of truth or error? He's saying, who's the we? All of us are of God. He who hears God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The apostles taught the truth. It came from the spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit guided them in what to say. And those who follow them listen to that truth. If it's from them, and this is the word we have in the New Testament, the apostles' teaching, if it's from them, it's true. If it's not from them, it's not true. It's error. Why is that so important? Russell, why are you harping on that this morning? Because we have a lot of people that aren't believing the truth. There's a lot of people in our world that don't teach the truth. There's a lot of people that watch people on TV and they sound good and they make you feel good, but they're false teachers. We need to be more careful. John's telling them, you need to be careful. Then Jesus said to those Jews who had believed, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This year, may you make it a priority in your life to study the word of God, and when you see things and hear things, verify them. Make sure that you test what you hear. Remember, you've overcome false teaching. You may be presently doing it, but don't drop your guard. Stay vigilant, because the enemies of the cross, the people who teach untruths, will continue to keep coming. Make sure you stand in the truth. When I left after my bachelor's degree and I was going to get my master's degree, I left Lubbock Christian. I went into one of my professor's office, Leon Crouch. He taught me Greek. He became a good friend of mine. And I said, I'm fixing to go out in the world and I'm going to be working on my in ministry, going to be working on my master's degree, but I'm going to be working as a campus minister. And what's your advice for me? And he said, you're going to go out there and you're going to find that what the church lacks is commitment and conviction. If you can be a person who can help people be committed and convicted, you will have done a good job. Commitment and conviction. Today, where's your commitment? Where's your conviction? If someone this morning caught you in the parking lot and said, I was visiting your church today and y'all did this, and y'all did that. Why do y'all do that? Do you have the conviction to share within the truth? Are you ready to share the hope that you have with gentleness and respect? That's the challenge for us. And maybe you're here and you've been looking in the truth and you understand that you need to confess Jesus as Lord and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Don't wait another minute to make that commitment to Jesus and grow in your conviction to learn to observe all things He teaches you. Whatever your need, will you come as we stand and sing?
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how He left His home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, singing it with
song. Good grief, please be seated. It's missing an entire slide. How did I do that? That song lady, you gotta watch him.
I love life He freely gave.
The Old Testament had many, many prophecies about Jesus Christ, his coming, and the importance of his coming, and what would occur while he was alive. This week, as I was preparing for this, I would have been looking at one particular chapter in one particular book. And I would ask you, if you would, open your Bibles to Isaiah and then find chapter 53. I cannot read all of that in the time that I have, but I have portions of it that I'd like to read. But during the time I'm not reading, it's a good time to look at the reverence of what these words say. So I'm going to be reading from Isaiah chapter 53, starting with verse 4. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God and stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that he brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We are all like sheep having gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. So as we look at the communion service for this morning, we know that many times we have turned to our own way. We need to look at ourselves, examine where we've been, look at where we're going to do to change that and move forward. So let us pray. Father, as we gather this morning to remember the great sacrifice that Jesus gave, help us to humbly and prayerfully appreciate his life and, of course, his terrible suffering. We pray, Lord, that as we look at the past and see where we could do better, then look to the future to determine that. So, Lord, as we take this bread, we know that it was a symbolic of the body that Christ had that was broken on the cross. Help us to take of this in a way that will be remembering him and rededicating our lives. These things we ask in your name. Amen. Then I'm going to be reading from the last part of chapter 53, verse 6. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shearers, it's silent. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. So as we take of the fruit of the vine, let us realize the attitude that he had toward this, knowing what it meant to us that he would do what he did. So let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Father, as we thank you for this symbol which reminds us of the fact that he was innocent, that he did it because it was needful, that he did it for me and for all Christians. We pray, Lord, that as we take of it, it will help us to remember. These things we ask in your name. Amen.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
All right, so if you're in the main auditorium, if you'll take a card from the pew in front of you, fill it out, pass it to the outside aisle. If you are in one of the overflow rooms, take a card from the chair in front of you, fill it out, pass it inside. Someone will come and pick it up right now.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world.
We will close out the online services with by giving thanks and being thankful for our opportunity to be able to give. So as we consider our contribution, let us remember it is our opportunity to give back to God what already belongs to God. And as we look at our lives, let us look at how He has blessed us in our lives and remember that He has blessed us freely and cheerfully in His giving to us, and let us let our giving in return back to Him also be freely and cheerfully done. Let us bow. Father, we humbly come before You, thanking You for all that You have blessed us with. Father, we pray that as we have the opportunity to give back to You, that we will consider all that You have done for us, and that we will freely and cheerfully, Father, give back to You. And we pray that the monies that are collected, Father, that they will be dedicated to You and to Your service. We pray this in Your Son's name. Amen.